Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 15. We're kind of working our way through here, picking out different subjects as we go. And I think it's worth our time to do it in this manner so that we handle these things adequately and with accuracy. And I might say with respect to that, tonight we're going to be dealing specifically with the fifth verse, I believe it is. The sixth verse. If a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That can be a very threatening portion of Scripture, and we're going to look at that tonight and give you a point of view on that, something for you to consider as you understand this 15th chapter and the vine and the fruitfulness that we are responsible to produce before the Lord. For this morning, I want to talk with you specifically about fruit. Just a word about fruit. What is fruit? We have a fairly good understanding of fruit in its basic physical sense. You have a favorite fruit, I would think. Something that, if you're given a choice to have fruit at your favorite restaurant, what would you select? I might give you a chance. What's your favorite fruit? How many would say raspberries? Some of you would. The seeds bug me. Didn't when I was younger, but I put up with them. Bananas? Not many bananas. Apples? Oranges? Peaches? What did you say? Huckleberries, we all must raise our hand. Good Montana people, we love huckleberries. I was thinking about this morning. Is rhubarb a fruit? Pardon me? We'll count it as such, huh? Okay. I love rhubarb if you get enough sugar on it. Some of it is much sweeter than others, naturally, you know. What is Christian fruit? What is Christian fruit? Well, we'll be looking at that subject this morning. Let's pray as we do. Father, as we open your word together this morning, we pray that your word would be what speaks to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, to grant us an understanding of the people that we are. We know that later in our text, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." And Lord, that's the calling of our lives today. And Lord, I pray that you would put within our hearts a passion and a longing to be fruitful children. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have any fruit-bearing plants that have been a disappointment to you? Probably you do. You know, last year, our apple tree, I think, produced 6 or 9 apples. They were pretty good apples, but that's not much of a crop. We planted a cherry tree in our yard. And it's been there now for 4 years, I guess. And last year, we got a handful of cherries off of it. We're hoping this year that it will do much, much better. Now, these are not pie cherries. They're the good sweet cherries, you know. They're not Bing, but they're like the Bing cherries, like that. And all I'm saying is, It is disappointing when our plants don't produce fruit. You know, we care for them, we nurture them, we tend them, we fertilize them, we water them. And I think the same is true of us as believers, that when we don't produce fruit for our Lord, we are disappointed in ourselves, aren't we? You know, sometimes I think maybe we hold out some unrealistic expectations of ourselves and unrealistic expectations of others. And I want to bring that into the mix this week. I've had an uncommonly uncomfortable week myself. So I come to this text as one beggar speaking to a bunch of other beggars, you know, begging for fruit from the Lord. The first observation that I want to make is God has the part of the husbandman. That has just, throughout the study of this, has really captured my attention and my mind, that God the Father personally assumes the responsibility for the care of the fruitfulness in the believer's life. So, for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can understand and expect that God is actively working in our lives to produce this fruit. I remember a lady who, when things were unhappy in her life, she would always, in her frustration, like she's pulling her hair out, and I think she actually would go like that when she said it. She says, "Where's God?" Well, sometimes we wonder about that. Where is he? A matter of fact, tonight we're going to be looking at that. How do we understand God in his production of fruit in our lives? He is the one who does that. We have a part. We'll be looking at that this morning. Our part is abiding. We can't, you know, in the end say, well, God just didn't do a good job of husbandry in my life, and that's why I've not been productive and fruitful. Well, we have a responsibility, and that's abiding, and we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. And then last week we looked at this issue of what is God doing in this husbandry business. And whereas he's producing fruit in our lives, it can also be looked at this, he is reclaiming our lives for his glory. The whole world is lost in sin. Sin has darkened the reflection of God in this world because God's reflection is in his creation. And of all the wonders of his creation, there is nothing more wonderful than us, for we are created in his image. Jesus Christ said to the disciples, well, Thomas said, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." And Jesus Christ said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Does the world see the Father in us? Does the world see the Son in us? What a challenging idea that is. It takes husbandry and it takes abiding. God's husbandry is an active reality that we need to acknowledge by faith. Abiding is a work, an activity in our part, that is accomplished by wisdom, faith, and obedience. And I'd like to take just a minute to look at that subject of abiding this morning. Our men are studying James. Well, we're in James chapter 1. We're going to study the whole book. But we're in James chapter 1 right now. And in The New English translation of that, it says this, "My beloved brethren, when all sorts of trials crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends, knowing that God has brought these things to create the image of his Son in us." And so that act of abiding is trusting God in, this is all the experiences of our life. All of them. Pastor Weber was teaching on idolatry this morning, and I was sitting back there trying to hide myself, you know, as I saw that applying to my own heart. Now, something else that we're going to be looking at tonight, and is something that we need to see within our text, is this fruit is something that's both individual and corporate. It has its individual expression in our lives with Christ, and it has its corporate expression within our churches. And both those things are here, and there is a responsibility to us on both of those planes, individually and personally. The text makes it very clear that fruit is not self-achieved. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Without me, you can do nothing." He must have been wrong. He must have meant, "Without me, you can do nearly nothing." It's incredible when you start, when you pause to think about that. Without me, in this area of Christian fruit bearing, you can do nothing. That is unless you have an outstanding gift for singing. Then you can do it in the flesh. You can sing in the flesh, but you can't produce Christian fruit in the flesh with your abilities. When you start to work your way through that, it is quite an amazing concept. It would seem to me that fruit is both the character and the production or product of our lives, that both of those things are seen as we think about fruit, the character of our lives and the product of our lives. With respect to the character of our lives, I would direct your attention to the book of Galatians. There's just we can't avoid this. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit," and most of you could quote this text, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." I would prefer that we would use the word suffering and not precede it with the word long. Get a little tired of long-suffering? Short-suffering would be more acceptable. "Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." We might equate this with a lovely appearance of fruit. You know, we get to see it as, you know, our raspberry bushes begin to just be abundant with those big, ripe, red raspberries. It just looks good. The apples hanging on the tree, the cherries, those things. It is a lovely product. But it is not just how it appears. It's what it is. And this idea of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, intemperance, or self-control has to do with an unusual reaction on the part of God's people to the ordinary events of life. Now, I want you to think through that with me. Christian fruit is the unusual reaction to life. Let me illustrate that. I saw this in my Bible reading this week, and turn with me to Acts chapter 13. And I think this illustrates it very well. Acts chapter 13, and we'll begin at verse 48. Paul is here, and Silas, on one of their missionary journeys, and they're preaching, and in verse 48 of Acts 13, we find this: "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad," that is, they heard the gospel, "and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." So there were a number of people there who heard the gospel message and were saved. Verse 49, "And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." So they were busy preaching there. Verse 50, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city." How do you think they stirred them up? They went out and told lies about the preachers, about the believers, about the intent and purpose of the gospel. They misrepresented it until they got the body of unconverted people disrupted and fuming. "The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast," kicked them out. Here were these men who had come in at their own cost and at the risk of their own lives, had preached the gospel, and there were a number of people who understood it and were wonderfully saved, and were dwelling in the mindset of Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Here was a group within the city who were unusually happy, unusually calm, unusually peaceful, unusually satisfied, because they heard and acknowledged the gospel. They are now surrounded by a people who are unusually upset by that. Isn't that crazy? As believers, we just shake our head and say, "That is just absolutely not, what is this, you know?" Okay, if you don't want to believe the gospel, that's your right and privilege not to do that. But what's your beef with us? That we have come to understand the grace of God and know that by faith in Jesus Christ we are forgiven from our sins and our lives have become changed. So what's your beef? Well, they kicked Paul and Barnabas out of the city. Paul and Barnabas, as they left, it says they shook off the dust of their feet against them. You know, that was a direction that God had given to both the 12 and the 70 when he sent them out during the time of the gospel. Those who don't receive you, just leave and shake the dust off your feet. We don't have time to talk about that. It's an interesting situation. But notice the unusual response of those now who are hated and persecuted. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. What an unusual response. Fruit is that unusual response to the circumstances of life. Fruit are lives of beauty in a caustic and corrosive environment. We can even use the word acrimonious. You say, preacher, don't use those big words. Well, my mother used to listen for those words when Pastor Borsma preached. And on the way home from church, she would say to us, did you catch that word that Pastor Borsma used? Did you know what it meant? And then we would have an English lesson on the way home. Acrimonious means bitter and spiteful. Christian fruit is an unusual response to the world. So fruit is our response to life. This is one of my favorite texts, and I'm there so often. Bear with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul talks about the ministry of the believer, and he says this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You see the unusual response to the circumstances of life? These are not just circumstances that come as a result of persecution or the caustic relationship against being a believer. It's responding to just the normal, unhappy environments of life. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now comes the persecution. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now here is the fruit, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life or the fruit of Jesus might be manifested in our body. So as we experience these, what we can call normal or even unusual experiences of life, God equips and gifts us to respond with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Now, all of us are somewhere in our growing ability to deny the natural responses of the flesh and to begin to manifest the beauties of the Spirit of God. And those are things that we want to grow into more and more. I'm thinking I don't want to pass up an opportunity. And I'm doing it with carefulness. This week, we saw in Montana and nationally an interesting illustration of this reality. when our now newly elected congressman had a confrontation with a journalist. The journalist was told to stay out of his office, and he barged in. He demanded an answer to his question and was told, "You'll need to speak to one of my aides." He forced himself to the candidate and thrust a microphone, which in this case was his telephone, into his face, demanding an answer. Disrespectful, arrogant, rude, provocative behavior. As I listen to the recording of this, it's interesting. The first thing that I hear our congressman, who is our congressman now, what he said, "I'm tired of this." That tells me that day after day after day, he faces this arrogant, rude, provocative behavior of the press. And he responded, folks, in a way probably not unusual to the way most of us would respond when finally we've had enough of it. I'm grateful that he is a man who has not justified that response but has said it's wrong and has asked the forgiveness of his constituency for that. Have you ever done anything wrong and been really embarrassed by it? Have you had to go back and say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong in my response"? I use that just as an illustration of situations and circumstances and our response to them. We would like to be faithful representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of the events of life. And may God help us to be that. Because we, as believers, increasingly are going to find ourselves in a caustic and acrimonious environment. And folks, that just gives us far more of an opportunity to manifest the realities of Jesus Christ in our world. Jesus Christ said, "Herein is my Father glorified, if ye bear much fruit." Will you pray with me that we as God's children will buy up our opportunities in this world to be truly fruit-bearing people and to understand how it is we are to do that. It is a glorious opportunity that God has given to us. There's a perfect world coming when our reactions will always be perfect. That isn't today. Today is our opportunity to fight the battle and win by faith. God help us to be such a people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being your children. We thank you for the privilege to expose something in our life that is very unusual. The fruits of the Spirit, of yourself. We didn't have time this morning, Father, but we understand that that fruit is not something that's just exposed, but it's something that's productive. We understand that by the exposure of that fruit, the hearts and souls of men and women and boys and children, boys and girls, are won to you. So, Father, may we see that it is not a vain thing that we are involved in, as we would give ourselves to be your children. Grant us grace in our lives to be the people you've called us to be, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.